Global Environmental Impact Report. And I know we have quite a few dignitaries around here. I see Kirk Ruffey back there in the back row. And Dennis Luke Malco, and he's a message in. So at this time, John, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then I will take it over.
Okay, I'm the other John. Thank you very much, Mayor, and members of the council.
Sure, Judge.
That's okay.
Give me the judge.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Tonight, we are here to conduct a scoping meeting for an environmental impact report. The Pacific Lumber Company, Palco, has applied to the city of Weardale for annexation of the town of Scotia. This will require several actions by the city. The city must proceed with this application, which is on file and has been accepted by the city. The city must review and determine to expand its sphere of influence. It must amend its general plan. It must amend its zoning ordinance. And it will be looking at a proposed subdivision. Because you will hear from Dennis Wood immediately after my comments, but the Pacific Lumber Company, Palco, is interested in having, in subdividing their property of the town and having the city of Rio Del take over services and infrastructure. So those are the things that are really at issue. Should the city take those over, and how should the city operate those? So we've got quite a few people working on this on the city's behalf, and a number of people, professionals working on it on their behalf too, and many of those are here tonight. And so after Dennis's presentation, we will be asking you to provide input. And I think because we're recording, if you wouldn't mind, please just go into the podium, giving us your name, and giving us any comments that you would like. And tonight, we're really interested in what you feel are the environmental issues. There are land use issues. There are fiscal issues, there are infrastructure issues, and we're, and the city, as the lead agency, is going to be dealing with all of them. There will be a number of other meetings, and at the end tonight, we'll conclude by talking to you about the next steps, and how you can stay involved, and how you can stay informed in this process. But tonight, our main purpose is to talk to you about the proposed scope of the environmental review, and to learn from you if you feel that that is appropriate, and if not, how other environmental issues, and these deal with water and biological resources and air and noise. The city has released what is called a notice of preparation, and we're doing all this in a full public disclosure effort to comply with the California Environmental Quality Act. The city, as the lead agency, is required to prepare an environmental document that is that complies with the California Environmental Quality Act. You'll often hear it acronym as CEQA. The city is required and is fully intending to conduct an environmental review that complies with CEQA. And the guidelines allow several different options for compliance. You can, the city as the lead agency could determine that it's exempt from CEQA, and there are several provisions for that. That's called a categorical exemption. There's also a provision for the city to act as with a negative declaration. But the most thorough review possible under CEQA is to prepare an environmental impact report. That is really what gives the fullest disclosure. It allows the city to look at alternatives. And there was, in reviewing the initial study, there was good ground for proceeding with a mitigated negative declaration. Because it really, since the town is already built, the annexation would be a big change in terms of administration. But in terms of the physical environment that exists in the town of Scotia right now, there wouldn't be that much change. The houses are already there, the businesses are already there, the streets are already there, the water and the sewer lines are already in. So when you think about it in terms of environmental change, physical environmental change, what it looks like today, not very much different. Got a built town, and you're going to have a built town, generally. But part of my job and part of the job of the professional staff that the city has hired is to look at all the implications and just look at the overall scope of this. And we advise the city that even though a mitigated negative declaration would probably be justified, we advise that they just go ahead and prepare a full environmental impact report. That way people can be assured that the full analysis is being conducted, and there's a number of professionals who are going to be working on that. And so that was the determination, and that's the way the city is proceeding. The first step after making that determination is to prepare what is called a notice of preparation. That has been prepared. It has been filed with the state. And this is a copy of it here. It's available here at the City Hall. And if you need a copy or would like a copy, please see one of us after the meeting. If you run out of copies this evening, we will certainly get you a copy. And a 30-day period is currently in process. And during this 30-day period, this is when we're really trying to define what the scope of the environmental analysis will be. And so that's a big part of why we're here tonight. This notice of preparation describes what is being proposed by Falco, and you're going to hear more about that from Dennis in just a few minutes. And it describes all of the actions that the city must take. I just went through those quickly, the general plan amendment, zoning, and sphere of influence. After the city's done with the review, then it must move on to the local agency formation commission. But we're right at the beginning of the environmental impact report process tonight. So you're getting in on the ground floor. You're right at the beginning of this process. There's going to be other opportunities to comment, and by virtue of being here tonight, if you give us your name and contact information, we'll make sure that you're advised of future meetings. And so that you can stay informed, there will be future public hearings. There will be opportunities to review draft environmental documents before any action by the Planning Commission, by the City Council. And so it's the intention of the State Environmental Quality Act, and it's the intention of the City of Rio Del to conduct a complete open process and, to review the potential impacts, consider the alternatives, and make decisions about this, which will affect not only the people of Rio Del, but the future residents of Scotia, many of whom I know that hope to be, the existing residents hope to stay on there. So that's really what we've got in front of us this evening. And does anybody have any questions in terms of over the scope of the environmental impact report? There'll be plenty of time for questions and input later. Alice?
In the 30-day period that we're in, what part of the period are we in?
We're about halfway through.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, that's a very good question. We have stipulated that this is the NOV went out on August 7th, and so we'll be taking comments until the day after Labor Day. We've got two more weeks. And so you can either talk to us this evening, and we'll take down your comments, or you can take a copy of this NOP, take it home with you, consider it for the next week and a half, and just drop your comments off. You can either, we'll give you an email address. In fact, there's an email address here in the notice of comments down after hearing what's said tonight, bring those back by. Just have them in by the day after Labor Day. The 30-day requirement. You can email or you can speak to us this evening. The whole intent is that this is to inform this evening, just like the full environmental process is designed to inform, and to give you, this will be the first of several opportunities for you as the community to talk to your community leaders and talk to the professionals who are putting the environmental document together about what you feel the environmental issues are going to be relating to this annexation. Other questions? Yes, John.
It occurs to me, rather whimsically maybe, that if you talk of environmental impact, if a city with existing, let's say, deficient utilities, as Riedel has but is correcting, and as I understand that Scotia also has, how does the law work where the law levies on a community if you've got too many adverse environmental impacts, you've got to do something about it? It seems to me that the combined city of Scotia and Riedel could very well be exposed to double problems that the government might well insist we solve. Is that a reasonable hunch?
Well, it's... You're correct that there are conditions here in Rio Nevada that the city is taking action on. And I think looking at what the city's been able to do with wastewater and water system upgrades and other system upgrades, that is a process that is well in motion. But for this particular document, we are just looking at the physical changes that would result from the annexation of the town of Scotia. We won't be looking at the way that we're kind of bound or the way that we're guided by this, by the secret guidelines, is that we must look at that physical change and determine whether the city has the capacity. But we'll also be looking at the existing conditions here. One of the things that we must find is that the police department, that there's going to be adequate law enforcement, and Graham Hill was intended to be here tonight, but couldn't be because of some things that came up unexpectedly. But that might be a good example. If there's a current deficiency in law enforcement that might impact their ability to expand and provide more services, absolutely, we have to. But we're primarily going to be looking at the physical changes and what the city would need to do to manage those services. We're relying on Jim here to tell us about how he would go about managing the water and the wastewater systems there. And we're relying on him and his expertise with not only what he's doing here, but how he would rise to the challenge of doing the ball. So, we're working very closely with the city staff here. So while we're primarily focused on the physical change across the river, we're also taking into consideration the city of Rio Del capacity. Does that answer your question?
That helps.
Hey, John, if I could expand a little. There's two other documents, too, in addition to the EIR. One is called the Municipal Service Review, and this is basically looks at the municipal services of the city, in this case of Scotia, and looks at how is your capacity, what are the issues, how would you serve them, okay? There's a kind of a companion document that's a financial analysis, and that's also prepared. And each of these three documents are kind of separate and tied together because they are interrelated. And so ultimately, in the annexation question, the city has to look at all those three issues. What are the infrastructure issues? And what are the needs for the infrastructure in both areas? What are the financial impacts of that? So you can look, after annexation, what would be the condition of the city? And what are the environmental impacts of this? so the three documents each deal with different components that are tied together.
Other questions before we turn it over to Dennis? Okay, be short, there's plenty of opportunity. Any questions from the council? So far, okay, very good. Dennis, you're up. Okay.
the same time, too, part of this process is just let me kind of outline here the city and kind of visualize it for everybody to see it. Here is the town of Scotia here, and you can see the black line is running along the freeway up above the utilities, the water system. Can you see that? I think we have a better way to put it up. So really kind of put it here. We want to make sure everybody understands the boundaries. And sorry about that, Mike. So we're going, basically, our original concept was to look at the town itself, just south of the town, and make that part of the Riadale boundaries. Because of some of the situations with the existing sewer treatment and how the city, can, the Riadale city, as well as possible future issues with Scotia, there's a possibility or potential to use this tree farm for secondary treatment, tertiary treatment of sewage. And so that's why today you see the black line basically all the way down to the South Scotia Bridge, and it would be basically the same for the fire district. Okay? So that's what we're asking the city to approve, as well as eventually LAFCO's to approve. Let's talk a little bit about what we're proposing a little more specifically here. We're actually, let me kind of give you an overview of the utilities. We're basically proposing to dedicate the utilities that we currently have in Scotia to the city. We'll dedicate them to the city. The city will then own and operate the utilities. Okay, now, the sewer system, we know it's an older system. We're taking measures as we speak to begin repairs on that system. We have maintained it in the past, so it's very, we feel it's very functional and very useful. The water system is a large storage system. There's 2 million gallon tanks, and that helps lower the fire rate in Scotia. Scotia has one of the lowest fire rates in the county for a volunteer department, so partly because of that additional storage. So there's a domestic as well as a fire and water system. So there's potentially, we see potential benefits from combining or integrating those systems. Yes, there's going to be some upgrades probably necessary. Your study that's underway by the city right now is going to propose that and look at some of those options. Is it warming? How does it mean?
It's warm.
So anyhow, that's kind of what we're looking at. We're taking, here's the sewer system, here's the water system.
Yeah, just like to interrupt you. Yes. You've got a choice here, folks. We can be cooler and put up with the noise, or
open the door.
Okay.
Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. I'll speak all the way over.
Sally, could you turn it up a little bit, the volume?
I'll speak a little closer. Yeah. So, basically, that's as well as with the condition of the sewer and water system, we have the storm drains. We have a series of storm drains running throughout the town, just like any other city. So basically everything you have in Riadale, you think about sewer, water, streets, utilities, those will all be dedicated to the city for their operation, ownership, and maintenance. At the same time, there's something that's unique about Scotia, and that's the electrical distribution system. Many of you may not know that Scotia, and I want to separate, obviously on the power plant, but at the same time, the distribution system that distributes power to the local community of Scotia is also owned by the company. Now, once the town is subdivided and on individual lots, the company will no longer be able to provide power to the individual homes. So that's another issue we're looking at. We've been talking with PG&E about the potential of taking over the system. So those discussions are underway. Now let's talk a little bit about the residential areas. Some of the work that Michael Hearn has done here. You can see that right here in this map. Basically, we've got little lots drawn around all the homes, so we've got around the commercial area, around some of the industrial areas as well. Basically, the company's proposing to, it's on one big lot, one large lot in Scotia. It's to subdivide, so provide individual lots so that the individual homeowners can then buy their lots and their houses. That sits on the land. Same way with the commercial, so we're going through this process as well so the employees and the people who live in Scotia will be able to buy their homes But to do that, we have to go through the subdivision process, this map process. So this is another part of the project. So currently in Scotia, there's about 274 homes. We'll most likely offer out approximately to sell approximately 270 homes. Home sizes range from about 800 square feet to 2200 square feet. The houses are well maintained, well kept over the years. Our process, our philosophy on how we want to intend to sell the homes is to offer them obviously first to the employees, the people that live there. Tenants that live in the homes, some of the other people that live in the homes they work for one of the contractors, they work in the school, there might be a teacher, superintendent, work in one of the stores, but generally people associated with the company in Nova Scotia. And so there may be other employees or retirees who wish to move back as well. And after that process, if there's still available homes, we're empty those or offer those up for the general public as well. Now, the other thing that's important to be recognized about Scotia, it does have historical significance. We are taking measures through the zoning, post-zoning, and looking at design overlays or enhancements of the zoning ordinance to protect some of that historical significance in Scotia. We're also going to develop a set of CC&Rs that go with the individual homes. I think at the same time we're doing this, you got to remember these are affordable homes. There's people that working people live in Scotia, so it's going to be a process and design guidelines we intend anyhow that can meet the needs and the budgets of those people as well as protect the historical significance of the community. So that's our goal, is to try to accomplish that as well. But then the parks and recreation, obviously we know that Scotia has number of parks. We have a baseball field, soccer field, basically a park, a picnic area, as well as the Scotia Recreation Facility, which has a gymnasium, racquetball court, swimming pool, and various other amenities. So it's a very, you know, it's a very useful and very well-maintained park system right now currently. We're proposing to dedicate that to the city as well. And maybe options to look at the recreation facility, the recreation center, in addition to dedication, or maybe there might be possible interest acquiring that building and utilizing that for membership as well as opening up the community for drop-in use as well. So that's our concept behind the parks and recreation facilities in Scotia. Scotia also has a school. This company currently owns and maintains the school, leases the back of the school district on an annual lease. The proposal there is to sell that school back to the school district, and the school district favors this. One of the things that the school district has a problem with is gaining outside funding from state and local grant funding or other opportunities out there that are public funding, because the building and the school is owned by us. So by doing that, by selling the school to the district, it opens up those additional opportunities for funding for the school. So that they're in support of that. Commercial properties, I think most of you know, Scotia has a series of commercial buildings. We have the Scotia Shopping Center, Scotia Post Office Complex, the Medical Center, the Scotian Daycare Center. We also have some potential to develop part of one lot into a car lot gas station. Again, these facilities will all be subdivided and mostly sold to the current business owners or to other folks as well. Several historical buildings in Scotia. In Scotia, you probably are aware of the theater, the museum. Those are proposed to be maintained and kept by the company to help in the eventually, you know, to attract tourists to work with the local community uses as those types of buildings. We also have a fisheries exhibit at the south end of town, and we're proposing to maintain ownership of that at this time. We're also proposing to maintain ownership of the industrial operations. You see, basically right here, in this area here, down through here, the new mill complex, the south end, the power plant, and the old mill A complex here. We're proposing to maintain those, keep those in operation. Falco would continue to own the land within the industrial boundaries. At the same time, though, the company would pay Riedel for water service or sewer service or utility service in conjunction with that. So we're basically proposing to bring that within the city limits. At the same time, the company would still maintain and own the property. One of the things we're working on too, and I just had that up here, I'll bring it up again, but the old Mill A complex here, we're proposing to develop that into additional smaller businesses, light industrial. We have a few folks already interested in that. There's about 300,000 square feet under the roof. It sits on a 25 acre site. It's one of the few areas in Humboldt County that has that kind of developmental potential, so we're very excited about that. We have possible tenants such as breweries, communication companies, solar panel companies, water bottling companies, so we get quite a few contacts now on a regular basis. So we're in the process of developing that. I mentioned the fire department earlier. Most of you know we have a volunteer fire department in Scotia. We have a building, equipment, of course, we have 5 volunteers. And so again, we're proposing to integrate that in with the Riadale Fire Protection District. I think George mentioned the city's underway right now on an economic analysis. So look at the benefits to Riadale as well as the costs. And so I just want to highlight what we see as a potential some of the benefits to the city, to the citizens. First of all, property tax revenue from the industrial side. And from the houses as well. A portion of that property tax now goes to the county. Will now, if it is annexed, will go to the city. Sales tax revenue, 3/4% of the sales tax revenue would flow to the city. Was annexed. Bed tax revenue in Scotia Inn, if that were reopened. And so anyhow, there's potential there as well to generate additional revenue. User fees, other revenues such as motor vehicle and loot fees as well. Those revenues will flow into the city. With the industrial area, there's over 200 acres of zoned industrial area right now currently. That would make the mine cities one of the largest industrial complexes in the county. Many of the cities, that would definitely be a benefit for job retention as well as job creation. So there's a lot of opportunity out there. Some of those big developments in Scotia. We want to work with the Riadale Scotia Chamber of Commerce to help provide tourism and hope. We've got the anemones over there already, we've got the theater, we've got the museum, we've got the fisheries exhibit. Those are all benefits to the community to help attract tourism. I think the other one I just mentioned briefly down in the south end of the tree farm there's definitely a benefit for the communities to look at the issues associated with secondary effluent or tertiary treatment of the sewage. And so there's been a number of concepts that's being discussed currently on that as well. So I think we're going to look at this. There's potential to satisfy some of the issues related to growth that Riadale has, problems they have currently with some of their utilities, as well as the issues Scotia has. So by working together, a lot of those things can be dealt with. Where we are currently, we're in this process. You're all here tonight. We're into the EIR phase. There's the economic and fiscal analysis underway. And we also have a technical review underway. So we're working through those. And we anticipate that all coming together here in the next couple of months. And for the eventual decision by the City Council and the Planning Commission as to whether or not they want to go for it. So that's really all I have for my presentation. It's kind of a shorter version of what I did are all over the Scotia Theater, but be glad to answer any questions. How do you want to do this?
Does anybody have any questions for Dennis?
Yes. At what point, you hear a lot about the potential revenues from, various things, but at what point in a study or at what point do we get more hard figures where we can say you're going to get X amount of dollars? I'm just not sure that this potential revenue is going to be enough with all the added expenses. I need to know figure.
That is a very valid concern and one of the first questions the city has.
Sure.
So the city developed a request for proposal. Hired the services of a financial consulting firm. There's a firm called Muni Financial. They're based in San Francisco. And they have been retained by the city. And Palco is covering their costs. But they are preparing a fiscal analysis of this entire organization. So you're not the only one who wants to see the numbers.
Well, no, I just kind of wanted to know how far along are we before we start getting numbers? I mean, is this months and months away, or?
John, we have a...
John stepped out of the room. I don't know what the exact time frame is of the analysts that are conducting that review, but we can certainly your question's been with the gentleman in time before you can get back.
I believe it's, from my understanding, it's around late October, right?
That's my understanding.
Now, there may be preliminary information coming out before that, but that's.
That information will be available before this goes to hearing. You will have the opportunity to review that and consider it, and then if you have issues with it, make that part of the testimony.
So historically, I was told that special was heated by steam heat from the, all the houses, everything is heated by steam from the power plant?
No, it's not correct. There are a few homes yet that are still heated by steam, and there's the recreation center and the school, but there's natural gas throughout Scotia.
So will that steam continue to service those buildings?
No, most likely not, because of the fact that PG&E will not provide the service. The only way that steam could continue is if a public utility district were formed to provide the or to operate the electrical distribution system. I didn't mention earlier that that was an option we were still considering. So if there were some kind of a public district form that legally could sell, you know, distributed power, the community services district cannot provide electrical service, but a public utility district can. So the steam would go hand in hand with the electrical service. So it'd have to be some kind of a public district, or unless we wanted to be a private utility, which we don't want to be. But PG&E will not do it.
I have one more question.
Yes.
I was going to ask that. Were there any assessment, are you thinking of any assessment districts, like the street assessment district?
We're not, from a public standpoint, we're not. Potentially, the economic analysis could be on some of the
other questions for Ben?
October is correct for the selectors.
Jack?
On the dedication of the water system, the water rights that's powerful owned, granted by the state.
Yes.
Is that an automatic thing, or are you guys going to keep the water rights, or can,
well,
are we going to be able to just transfer them to us? Or?
Nothing's automatic, but our intent is at this point is to, there's a lot of value there and a lot of water that we would like to reserve for future uses. We want to make sure we're able to reserve a certain amount of water. At the same time, it makes a lot of sense to transfer those rights directly, or will transfer to the city, consider that, and then
we want to write back.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Do you have about 6 hours then?
I think it's 7.1.
7.1.
Yes.
So would the state have to prove this?
I can't answer that, Jack. The national state is something we have.
Who wants to that? 7.1, I missed that. I don't know what that means.
7.1 cubic feet per second.
Is that the use?
No, that's what we have rights to.
And do you have that right before, is this before the city gets, is that first taker, or how's that work?
Well, that's what the company has rights to take out of there.
Oh, okay.
We have our new water right declaration, which, sorry, I have the number on the top of my head, but it's somewhere around 40.
Will you reserve some of the water rights to use in the municipal fund?
That's our intent.
However, the city's requested that the water rights be turned over to us, and then we would in turn give rights to the industrial and the power to provide them water at a cost.
Other questions for Dennis?
I have another one, and it's really kind of out of left field here. If I don't know if you can answer this. And my question is, it's kind of bizarre, it's just something that came to me the other day. When the homes are sold in Scotia, and I'm assuming the people will have to get fine lenders and things like that, is that correct? I mean,
I'll finish your question, but I'll answer that specifically.
Okay, well, it's sort of two things are combined, so I kind of need to know. If they have to go through, say, other lenders,
My question is, are those homes over there in a floodplain where flood insurance might be required if they went to other types of lenders or something? Because, I lived in an area in Southern California where I was kind of up on a hill. But because there were homes in an area that could be flooded, I was required to get flood insurance and pay $400 or $500 extra in insurance a year. So my question is, are those homes in a flood plain, flood zone, where they might be required to get flood insurance, and then it might require me here in Odell to get it too?
No. I don't believe any homes are in the flood.
Okay.
Yeah. This, the other part of your question was about financing. And we're taking a, making a large effort to look for, to bring, you know, banks in and lenders in and look at some other types of government-type backed financing, low-interest loans, some of those types as well. We're starting to bring that information together. We've made a couple of early presentations, you know, a couple of months ago to the residents in Scotia regarding that specific issue, how to get their credit lines up, how to get their credit scores, you know, all that. So we get, you know, a year ahead, we get ready for when they have to finance. And so we're bringing a great effort to do that. And so that's going to be our, one of our focuses here for the next month or two, is to get that out. We want to be able to, go out eventually and pre-market the homes so they know exactly or have an approximation of what the values are if they want to be able to do that. Listen.
Well, someone's asked
Frank Stover. I have a question about
Have you worked out a scenario in the event the appeal closes its doors, because eventually they will? So how do you, that'll be a huge liability for the city of Rio Valley. So have you worked that into your calculations? On the annexation, the parts of the Topo will retain was large industrial parts. Those will be separate. They will be retained by them, and then they would be considered just the same as any other business. And if Topo closed those mills, the potential repercussions would be loss of jobs, and the value, the property tax values would be retained because that would be the land and the improvements. And so when we look at that from the city's perspective, property tax is really key. Now, John, do you want to expand?
Yeah, the fiscal analyst has developed several different land use scenarios for the future activity within the town of Scotia, and they're trying to bracket all potential outcomes. So they've looked at a scenario where the mill might be closing. So they will report what revenue would be available to the city to provide city services if, in the worst case scenario, over in Scotia.
I have just one other thing to add to that. You find it just coincidental thing that this happens coming up right now, that this discussion about annexation, because I'm looking at the mills being closed down increasingly larger numbers over the last few years. It's, is this going to happen next, in the next year or two?
We have no way of knowing, but as John said, we're trying to anticipate what the effects would be should that happen. Yes?
I witnessed a mill closing in Anderson, California, a couple years back, and the repercussions of that were pretty crummy. People lost, $50,000 a year jobs and had to go on unemployment, get retrained. A lot of them had to, relocate because they lived too far out of town already, and things like that. I mean, you're essentially saying, well, it's no big deal if the mill closes, but really you're going to have this depressed economy. And that's really what you're giving us.
Just to clarify, I don't think anybody's saying no big deal. I think, as John indicated, the city is looking very closely at that.
You mentioned the tax revenue. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. The first thing you mentioned was the property tax revenue. It's like, that's cool. That's good money for the city. But what about the economy? I mean, these are human beings that I'm talking about, not dollars.
So that's true. And I think, if I recall my comment, it was job loss and property tax. And so we are concerned because those people, there are good paying jobs over there in Falco and working in those mills. And if those mills close, obviously, those jobs will be lost and it would affect the ability of people to stay in that community. And so that is, hope we didn't indicate that we were taking that lightly. There will be a scenario of this analysis, and again, before this goes to hearing, these reports will be out, and people, and you, and those who are concerned about this potential issue, you're going to be able to look at those, see what those revenue repercussions are, and be able to talk to your elected appointed officials about that as part of the future.
Yeah, I think if I may add too. I can't say whether the mill closed or not, but that could happen irregardless of an annexation. And so, in evaluating the annexation, it's really looking at, hey, what's the impact of this on the city? And, as John said, they're going to look at scenarios, different scenarios in there. So, the end documents will address that, and you can look at that. Certainly, no closure would be a substantial impact on the city, and that's going to be a
it's almost an inevitability. I mean, the concept of a mill these days is considered getting taxes.
Yes, Melissa.
We've talked about, because we don't have industrial zones back out, we have them. When that happens, will the city have any control of what goes in that? We talked about solar panels, which might not be environmentally. Is that, does the city have any control of it, would they sludge lots or whatever happens in that area?
That's a very good question, and that, yes, the answer to your question is absolutely. One of the actions that is being taken on the city's behalf is that a new industrial zone is being written and will be part of the action. So you are going to be able to look at the proposed land use, industrial land use designation. We're going to give you a list of permitted uses, and we're going to give you a list of conditionally permitted uses. And you're going to have the opportunity to review those and feel and determine if you feel that those uses are in fact appropriate for the expanded city. And so you will have a full opportunity to review that and say, yes, I feel these uses are appropriate, or no, I want these uses changed. So you're going to be, just like we talked last night about, you know, town center and how that's been planned and urban residential. And every land use designation in the city existing, and those that are going to be proposed, industrial, there's actually a couple of new land use designations that are being specifically crafted just to deal with some of the proposed annexation land. But each one of those, there will be the same standards that are here in the city. There will be lot sizes and height and other development standards and operation standards and actual uses with what uses are allowed. So you're going to have control over that. You're going to have the opportunity to review and act on that as part of the annexation.
And you will give the pros and cons to each one, or do you have to find out that information?
We will be able to talk to you about the characteristics of those uses that are being proposed as permitted, what they mean in terms of noise, emissions, traffic, that sort of thing. We're going to be going through all that. Yes, Michael.
George, I'm Michael Hearn, a surveyor working on this project. The question came up about flooding on the Yale River, and I just wanted to point out that there is a 100-year floodplain that's been mapped for the river, and I think there are a few lots that touch the floodplain. So there may be a few lots within the floodplain. I don't think any buildings are, but regardless of that, any lots that are not in the floodplain wouldn't be subjected to flood insurance.
Yes.
So I'd like to ask two questions. So I know in the, and I'm assuming, because I haven't heard about them in ages, the mill tours, when they had those, they were really very popular. They used to come down with visitors all the time. Is that a possibility that that will start up again?
We talked to Falco about that, and the way the city is approaching that is that we're treating that's more of a tourism commercial use, but definitely one that Alco said that even though it's, you're right, it was very popular, it's currently not being offered, but they want to preserve that, and I think it's in the city's interest to try to preserve that. So right now, and it's described in this notice of preparation, but right now the proposal is to treat that as a conditional use, and that way we can define conditions under which those mill tours will be operated. The city can set hours of operation. The city can put other conditions to make sure that should it resume, it can operate as a conditionally permitted use, but subject to rules that the city will be considering enactable. So yeah, it's definitely part of looking towards the future and trying to preserve that use under specific standards.
One other, I know that there's a great interest in as far as urban nights coming to our area and being able to see what logging operations are like or what they mean. And the Fort Humboldt is really popular that way. Is there going to be any larger museum on the premises in Scotia that would be available for tourism?
I'm going to direct that question to Dennis. Is that the proposed use for the
At this point, the company is not committed to expand its museum right now at this point, but they're looking at
say that Pocco does have an interest in keeping the current museum open.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, we discussed it, like I said.
But that's a very good, that's a very good example of some of the input that we're here tonight to get, because if you, as somebody who's obviously interested in that sort of thing, feel like there should be an opportunity for expanded museum uses to occur in the future, then you would tell us, yes, I feel that that is a use that would be appropriate for one of the closed buildings there. And then we'll take that and consider that and try to craft a way so that that could occur as part of this whole annexation, so that, say, 2 years from now, there's a building over there that's available, there's an interest from the state or some other historic group, and we would try to put the, if it's appropriate for that location, we would try to put the land use mechanisms in place now, since we're going through this broad look, so that that could occur in the future. So that's the sort of thing that we're trying to, you know, what kind of uses do you feel could occur that would be, that the city would like to see down there, so we can consider those potential requirements. So, yeah, that's a very good example of what we're here tonight to try to learn. These are great questions. I'm anxious to get to the actual input, too. Any other questions for us? Good. Okay, well then, we're at the point in the agenda where you get to tell us what kinds of environmental issues you feel the city should be considering as they prepare this environmental impact report. So I think just stating your name and talking about that would be oh, well, actually, there was a sign-up sheet that went around. Where is that now? Okay.
Has everyone signed this?
Okay. Well, good. And if you could just state your name, and then we have your address on file, so that would be helpful to us. Who'd like to start? Yes.
Not so much a question, just a concern to express is, I don't know the name of the chemical that was used there, but it's concentrated creosote that was used, and creosote has been a real candidate link in a lot of diseases of the immune system and pretty nasty stuff. At the time it was used, of course, we didn't have the concerns that we have now as far as on storage and treatment of the chemicals, so I'm just wanting to express my real concern on the creosote levels in particular, since it's so detrimental to the growing kids and stuff over there.
Okay. Very good. There is going to be a whole section in the EIR devoted to public health hazards, and we'll be sure that you consider that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Question?
Yes, John.
In the environmental, in the format of the environmental impact report, will it list only the things that the writer, the firm that writes it, consider to have a negative impact on the environment, or will it give a report of the status of all elements, such as condition of the plumbing, the creosote, etc.? Good or bad?
Good and bad.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. And that's something that is often overlooked in the environmental process. People tend to think that the environmental process is all about getting at those adverse impacts. And that's a very important part. But understanding what the term we use in writing these is beneficial impact. There can be an adverse impact, there can be neutral, less than significant impact, and there can be beneficial. One of the things that we think, although we haven't done the analysis yet, but we think is going to be a potential beneficial impact is on recreation, parks and recreation, because as you know, pretty limited here in Rio Dell. The fire department's been good enough to put up some equipment, but in terms of public parks, Rio Dell doesn't have a lot to offer. Part of this annexation would include potentially the dedication of the ball field, Carpenter Park, and the river access. This would allow, this would make new city parks where there are no city parks like that. And so we think, as we, based on some preliminary review, that that might be an example of a beneficial impact that would occur as a part of it. So we're going to be writing about that as well.
Thank you.
Yes?
Vicki Eddie. Just building on that a minute, as far as like parks and recreation, that study, is there a recommendation about how many people it's going to take to, say, staff, or how many additional staff people we need in the city to take care of the parks and things like that? I mean,
staffing needs just for parks and rec, the public services, police, and fire. So all of that is every single warm body that is going to be needed to manage those resources down there, provide fire protection, provide police law enforcement, keep the water flowing, keep the wastewater treated, and all the staffing needs are, and we're looking at SHA or Windsor County to help us with just determining what that is, and again relying on Jim there to tell us what he feels the staffing needs. We've got some good information because Falco is already, you know, we know how many firemen they have down there, and we know what their staffing is to run those systems. But we're looking at that, but we're also looking at what the city levels of service are.
Yeah, because I'm just concerned that having to add all these people to our city, it's going to be very expensive, and I'm sure a lot of them, you know, I don't know, provide insurance, medical insurance, and everything. You know, again, going back to the revenues, we don't know yet what the revenues are going to be, but it's a concern.
Mm-hmm. It's very much a concern, one we're taking a very close look at. Yes?
I have one question, Pat Miranda. I'm not sure if this is the right one to bring it up to, but like the sewer and the water system, will they be operated to the same level as ours? Will they be required to match our water system, the pipes and things that we've finally gotten, so that we'll have both cities, or one gigantic city, I guess I should say now, that will have the same water system, basically, and sewer system, or are they going to be two separate systems operated separately?
First off, the standards, they'll have to operate the same standards, and by that I mean the city and Scotia currently operate under permits from the state. The wastewater is a regional water quality control board. On the water side, it's Department of Health Services. So they have certain standards that have to be matched, okay? Part of your question, though, getting down into a little bit, is would you have one treatment plant or two separate? And that'll come out of the municipal service review, which is really where it's kind of getting parts of that, analyzing alternatives for those systems. The municipal service review has really a couple of parts to it. The first looks at what's existing out there today, right now. The second part is sometimes called a plan of service, and that's really, if you look at the future as one community, how would you do it? Okay, what makes the most sense? Under those alternatives, the factors are what's the cost of doing that in terms of building the facilities, and the earlier question, what's the cost of operating? How many people do we need? And what's the operation and maintenance? So those questions will get answered in municipal service review and plan of service and financials.
Okay, now when will that one be?
Really, they'll all come together about the same time, which is, you know, October timeframe. We're doing a lot of this concurrently, but some of this information has to get fed, and the analysis of the system has to get fed for the environmental impact report. It has to get fed into the financial analysis. Okay, so that all isn't developed.
Actually, I believe this gentleman in the front row.
You know, I was going to expand on your question, but I'm sure you're going to.
No, of course.
No, I saw it.
Mine was more with hers. Was I correct in understanding at the initial meeting that, as far as the sewer system goes, that Palco was going to do some minor repairs as needed, but that they're kind of hoping Rio Dill will end up getting another grant to complete and redo the sewer system? Did I understand that correctly at the initial meeting?
I don't think so. What Palco's doing right now is they, like us, just got reviewed by the state water quality, and they have some issues under their current permit that they're working towards to satisfy the state. And so they need to keep on that track because if annexation doesn't go through, they still have to satisfy the state's requirements on their own level. Does that answer your question?
Well, I just kind of remember that the comment was
Band-Aid.
The Band-Aid, yeah. We'll see the Band-Aid on it.
That's poor terminology. I know Don Bryant, their operator, the personnel over there, and I can assure you all that he's not the business of doing Band-Aids any more than the Rio Dell Public Works Department is. They're licensed individuals like we are that have to do things like the standards and the engineering standards that we all get checked out and reviewed and inspected.
But eventually, they're going to want us to get it right and really do the whole thing.
Let me answer that. Ultimately, the city council will have to make a determination of the sanitation and extension for the city. And, you know, one of the standards that we're looking at from this, it has to be what's called revenue. So I think where your question is coming at is prior to annexation, would the city now be required to pay a lot of money for infrastructure that now isn't revenue due to, it's not going to cost the city a lot of money? Okay? I think if we got through that, what the financial analysis would say, that's a negative impact. Probably understandable. And unless there was some extenuating circumstances or reason that this council would say, yes, we're going to do it anyway, so we're not going to occur. So I can't speak for the council, so I want to clear on that one.
I'd like to go ahead and express a concern. I mean,
can you please say your name?
Matt Kosecko. It just appears to me that what we're really looking at is a town that's owned by a mill right now. It's essentially the mills want to sell parts of it because, you know, they either want money or whatever the case may be. They're restructuring. You know, that's business. You know, that's their stuff. This is a big burden, you know, financially on a small town like Rio Dell. When if, I'll give you the if, the mill does close, you're talking about a huge financial burden, you know, on the city, as well as people who are going to lose their jobs, probably lose their homes, because mortgages do cost money on a monthly rate, and banks do repo loans, I promise. Right. You're looking at a huge fiasco. I mean, this has the potential to go really, really south.
And I guess my answer to that is, that is something that we have to analyze, and in the documents, and these documents will ultimately, when they're produced, be available for public review and look at is that the condition, and or it could also be a situation that would be valuable for the city to have. And I think at the end of the day, you have to look at what are the benefits to the city, what are the costs of the what are the costs to continue to operate on those. And then really our job is to provide that information to the council and to the city, making an informed decision on does this make sense? Okay, under whatever scenario you want to lay out, the mill closing or, you know, the mill operating and you're trying to get other industries. There certainly is a change in the industrial base in Humboldt County.
Yes, Alice.
This is along the same line. It seems to me it would be a whole lot better to have, if the mill did close, or if Palco was no more, to have everything situated, homes sold, people owning properties, owning the businesses. I think that we could get along a whole lot better without Palco. If everything was owned, then if something happens under the situation we're in now, I mean, it would be horrible. It makes a lot more sense to me. We could get along a whole lot better without Palco if we had to, if everything was parceled out in individual ownership. And I'm not going to Palco. We're joined with them very, very closely. Anything that happens there is a reflection of it. So it seems like the impact would be a whole lot less if they weren't the landlord to the whole thing.
Councilmember Dozier.
Yeah, just to make a quick comment on that. Whether Rio Del goes with the annexation or not, in the event that Palco was to go under, it's going to have a pretty good impact on the community. Anyway, there's still quite a few people that work there that don't live there, that live in Rio Del already. So it's certainly going to have a certain amount of impact no matter whether we annex it or not. It's always been a big part of the community, just sitting at Scotia, being in the community, right next to us. So I think either way, it's going to have some kind of a major impact.
It'll be a change.
Whether we annex or not.
Good point.
I think the bottom line is for everyone is that to know that the city, its staff, and its consultants are by no means on one side of the line or either. We're not making a decision. We're not even in the thought process of making a decision. We're still gathering information. All the questions that you've had here tonight are valid questions, and that's why we wanted to hear them so that we make sure we don't miss a question we should be asking as staff. So keep thinking of them, keep asking them. Feel free to hit the website and write them in, letters, talk to your council members or public works staff is always available. Leave some cards up there for you. We're still gathering information. That information will be made public as it is comes to us, because as soon as it comes to us, it's public information, and we'll all review this together and see what happens on it. But again, I just want to stress completely that staff, its consultants, and I'm not in the business of speaking for council, but some of what they've spoken to me, I believe that they are still just in the open mind position of, hey, let's take a look at it, because taking a look at it, thinking about it, can't possibly be the wrong thing to do, especially if it's that initial study, it's cost neutral to the city.
That's why meetings like this are so helpful and important, helpful to us, because you're putting us on notice as people working for the city, what's important to you as a community, what questions you want answered. We don't have all the answers tonight, but we're certainly getting a very good list of questions. We don't have all the answers tonight, but we're getting good questions. And so, I don't want to come back and stand up in front of you without some answers. Yeah.
George, can I just add from Laughlin's point of view, you're all doing all the right things right now. You're asking all the right questions. The city is authorizing all the right studies. The consultants are looking at all the things that LAFC is going to need to make a final decision on whether or not the annexation makes sense. So keep asking the questions. When the studies come in, hopefully they'll answer all of the questions you have and all the ones that I know LAFC is going to have, so that an informed decision can be made on what's best for this area. Typically, cities are in the best position to deliver services to urbanized areas. It's somewhat anachronistic. You've got a company town here. It's why you're getting national attention with this project, because it's unusual. And if the mill does go down, the base question is going to be there still. What's the best way to deliver services? So that's the question that needs to be answered. And hopefully, because of all the good work you're doing, hopefully when you get to LAFCO, the answers will be obvious, and LAFCO won't struggle with making the final decision.
If I could follow on, just I'm sure that George said this initially. This is the environmental impact report that's going to address physical effects on the environment. The city is most concerned about the physical effects, which will be addressed in the technical reports that Winsler and Kelly is preparing, and the fiscal impact analysis that Muni Financial is preparing. And those are going to be probably the things that the City Council is going to look at the most, and the LAFCO board is going to look at the most. If those fiscal impacts result in significant environmental effects, then they're going to really make their way into the EIR. Otherwise, the EIR might not address those at all. They might be mention of it in the EIR, but if they're not going to result in environmental effects, the EIR isn't going to focus on those. So when you review the EIR in the future, be mindful of that, and the reports that deal with the fiscal side, the cost side, those will be available too, but they're separate from the environmental part.
John, I heard some thoughts expressed of potential problems that would never have occurred to me, and I'm very impressed. Will the three reports in October be considered as draft reports to be reviewed with the public and possibly modified, or are they really the environmental impact report final?
They will be released in draft review. I'm going to cover that in the next steps, but let me address that right now, because that's another good question. The next environmental document that will be released will be a draft EIR. And everybody will have 45 days to read, review, and comment on that. And we will respond to all the substantive comments. If we get a comment on the EIR that's actually more fiscal, as John was saying, what we're going to say in our response to comments is, this is a fiscal comment, and we're not going to address it in the AR, but we're going to set it on Muni Financial, who will be submitting a draft fiscal analysis, and they will address the thing. So it may not end up right in the AR, but we're going to serve as kind of a clearinghouse. If it's an infrastructure question, we're going to ship it over to Neil, because Neil's putting together his set of reports. And so all these are going to come out in draft, and nothing gets filed until that review period has occurred and your hearings have been conducted.
Oh, I see. There will be a public hearing after the draft.
Yeah, both Planning Commission and City Council will be considering this.
But the system would be responding to the person that contacts you with the suggestion after reading the draft.
Thank you. In the corner.
My
name is Sharon Wolf. I just heard a suggestion from a couple of folks in town that sounded like maybe a good idea, so I thought I'd mention it. They talked about possibly having PALCO put aside a certain percentage of the money earned by selling the homes into some type of a long-term, perhaps savings account, something to cover the cost of any sewer system upgrades, environmental cleanup, water system, whatever is unforeseen that may be needed, then after a period, 20 years or something, it give it back right to PALCO. If it's not needed, it's their money, it goes right back to them. But I just thought that was an interesting suggestion. I wanted to mention it.
Thank you.
Yes, the question is, there should be a representative here from the financial consulting company that the city's retained?
They're not here tonight.
They're not here tonight, but will they at the next meeting?
Oh, are they?
They'll likely come up when they have a report to present. They're very expensive, mm-hmm. and the more times they come up here, the more they cost. So they came up and they spent a day gathering information, They're in the process of sending requests for information to all the folks who deliver services or deal with taxes. They will like to come up and present to once or twice to the city council.
And will that be available to the public?
They'll be up here for public hearings.
Okay.
And their documents will be available prior to the hearings.
Other comments? Been very good. Jack?
Through the various meetings, we've heard comments of different things, that some rumors, some maybe whatever, in the environmental part of it. Are those questions going to be specifically answered in the report? So that when we're all said and done, somebody comes back and says, well, whatever it might have been, I mean, say, it was looked at, it's not true, or whatever, or it's been taken care of, or is that something you're looking at like that, or?
Short answer, yes, but the longer answer is there's different standards, and we will be doing what's called a phase one environmental assessment, and actually sort of a standard for that, baseline standard. But we'll be looking at that on the properties that would be dedicated to the city, for instance, the roads or the parks or things like that. We won't be looking at that on private property, okay, that is outside of what the city will own. Because really, any liability with hazardous materials on private property, be it owned by Palco or the Scotia Inn, if somebody in that's got some hazardous materials there, and I don't know that that's there, but just as an example, that responsibility lies with that property.
And that won't be addressed.
So that won't be addressed, but we'll look at the property of the city. Will be taken on. And the phase one doesn't, you know, this hazardous material, like, let's say, finding a needle in a haystack, you can't know exactly, you can't dig up everything to see everything there. So you do what's really called due diligence, and that's at a level that would protect the city or really any property owner. That's the standard that will protect the city that, hey, they did. Again, due diligence is the leading term to look for hazardous materials there. And, you know, if we think there might be some, then you can go to the next phase two. Otherwise, you say, no, I don't need to do that.
But this document that the city moves forward in this area and it's finalized, and somebody said, well, you didn't do your job. The city did not do its job. Will it be a document that stands up in court and says, yes, the city did everything that it needed to do?
Yes. This will be a legally defensible document.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I maybe didn't understand you. Did you say the environmental impact review is going to be on only the areas that the city would be deeded to the city, or is it on the entirety of the Scotia area, including the industrial area?
The whole environmental review and the subject of the meeting tonight will cover the whole area, the whole annexation. The question that Jack had was towards hazardous material. Okay, you know, you mentioned grease. So. You know, how do you evaluate that from the city's perspective? And one of the parts of the document that we're working on will be what's called a phase one environmental assessment, site assessment. So it looks at that and in a manner that really protects the city to say, hey, I did what was reasonable to determine if properties that we're going to acquire this annexation of energy materials, that those don't have a hazardous material. It doesn't guarantee you there isn't anything there, but you know, it does take you through a process that would award you if there's something there.
Thank you.
So if there was lead paint somewhere in the houses or the older buildings, that would pertain to us because we're not acquiring something.
Right, that would be great.
Does the railroad own the property, the track?
they abandoned that, who would it be abandoned to?
They would still own the land.
Oh.
Doesn't the deed tell that to a reverter clause?
I don't think courts uphold those reverter clauses, though.
If I could, you asked about the lead-based paint on the houses, or I'm sorry. I think that will be a subject in the public health and hazards in the EIR. It may not be part of the phase one environmental site assessment, but that would be something that could be disclosed as part of the EIR process, the potential for that to be present.
That, excuse me, I'm sorry, but then for you then, how are they going to actually assess what's there at the mill currently as far as hazardous materials? Is that something that's going to be included in that particular
form? No, I think that's it.
No, that's a, again, those are, that's really not a subject of the annexation issue. In other words, if there's a hazardous material on the mill, that the responsibility for that remains with Calico. After the annexation, as long as Calico owns that property, they're responsible for that. And actually, even if they sell it to somebody, they're still responsible for this. There's something called joint and separate building.
But the community it doesn't get to know about it.
The community does not get to know about it.
Okay.
It's not really a concern in this process. I mean, again, it's...
I'm just curious because if they've got hazardous materials, it's, you know, it's one of those things that is
right.
Somebody right. Lives here. So,
right. And again, we're not analyzing that. Well, the hazardous materials are, you know, any place, or lots of places that have hazardous materials that they have procedures for dealing with those that they need to undertake to protect their workers and, you know, their property. But this, again, the focus of the annexation is really on what are the impacts on the city?
Can I help? Is that what you're going to say?
I just want to say, you know, one of the considerations in evaluating the areas that will be dedicated to the city is adjacent site uses that have a potential effect to affect the areas that are proposed for dedication. So you might not be looking at the whole industrial area, but you will be considering adjacent uses on the adjacent property.
Okay.
You just say now currently they're regulated by regional water quality control board, air quality management district. So it's currently exists an operation restriction group. Now they have inspections for these different entities, have to report releases, all kinds of stuff, and there's public documentation available in terms of ongoing things that occur with the facility, as with any other industrial facility. So it's not a secret in terms of things that are out in our public entities that are regulating activities.
Well, I was just thinking, I think my dog down the river, uh-huh. The access, and as I pass through the gate, there's that sign up there that says, you know, there's hazardous materials that, you know, that cause cancer and stuff like that. That sign up. Since that is the access to the river, would we be aware of what those hazardous materials are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what you're looking at is the Prop 65 notice.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they're required to put that out there and on that sign, and I haven't seen the sign you're talking about, they're supposed to list what those hazardous chemicals are. When you go fill up your gas at the gas station, they have them there.
Yeah, it's not listed though. They just have the sign that says, when you're passing in this area, you may be exposed to something.
Right.
I just don't know if that would be included in this, since it's part of the river access, would then something like that be included in the report, just what those chemicals are.
I wasn't going to cover it, so I don't know.
Yeah. Let me look into that. Yeah, that's a good question. We don't know, but we'll find out. Other comments then? Very helpful to me, and you've really laid out what your expectations are. That's good. So the
brother go down. Yes. Do you have any rough idea what the number of people that live here that work for Palco?
Could you identify yourself on TV?
Frank Stover.
I don't know. Does Mr. Yevon know? How many people, how many Rio Dow residents work by that? Okay. Other questions or comments? Yes.
Dottie Miranda, what will happen to the old hospital building, the dentist and the doctor over there?
That building will have, just like the rest of the buildings in town, will be set up, have a lot around it. If the people that rent that right now currently wish to buy it, they're available to, or anybody can go to. But all the buildings in Scotia, at this point, except the museum and Dave, are expected to be with a lot around them, subdivided, and ready to sell.
Good. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to just talk briefly about next steps. Again, I have a couple of copies of the notice of preparation here. It's dog-eared, but they're still readable. So if you'd like, please take one. It's like, So yeah, please take these. It tells you what's being proposed and where you can provide your comments. The next step in the environmental review process will be a release of a draft environmental impact report. Like John mentioned, first step in that document is go out for draft. You will have a full 45-day review period. There's a notice called a notice of completion that goes out with that. And what we'll do is we'll get the list of, we'll mail a copy of the notice of completion to everybody that is here tonight. So you will get a copy of that. And we'll tell you where it is available. We'll have it online. We'll have electronic copies. And then we'll have print copies available for review or for purchase. So you'll have many forms of reviewing that document. And then subsequent to that, after the 45 days, we will be collecting all of the comments. And we will be preparing what is called a final EIR. And the final EIR will have the draft, all the comments, responses. And that will go along with fiscal analysis, along with the land use resolutions for the general plan and the zoning and the other land use actions that the city is going to be considering, and the municipal services review, which is that plan for services that Neil's been talking to you about. That whole package will be going first to the Planning Commission, and so Jack and Alice and the others will have that public hearings right here in this building. After the documents are done tentatively, we're looking at November. And then once they have had a chance to deliberate here from the community, the Planning Commission will make a recommendation. It will come to the City Council. The City Council will hold public hearings, and then they will deliberate and render a decision. And at that point, then it moves on. And Kirk Gauthier, who you heard earlier on, is the LAFCO representative, and so we'll be there. The city will then be forwarding items on the next. So there will be many subsequent opportunities to comment, to testify, to get your concerns and comments incorporated into the record. As Jack pointed, we want this to be very legally defensible. We've got some good legal counsel that's going to be helping us with that. And stay tuned. With that, I wish you all a good evening.
George?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
How about you? How many agencies is this EIR went up to?
That's a very good question. In the back of this notice of preparation, we have three pages of agencies. So take a look at that if you feel like there was an agency that we didn't contact. You can tell us that too. We'll send that out. Yeah, three pages of that.
Thank you, everyone.